With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It is a Football Friday. Football Friday is always brought to you by Coors Light and the Low T Center. Things get started with Mad Radio at 6 a.m. They've got Kylie Wong at 8 a.m. They've got Wade Smith at 9 a.m. Brian Jones is on with the In the Loop guys at 11 a.m. And then Football Fridays at Little Woodrow's. Today we're at Edo, so stop by and see us. Stanford Route alongside me. Rich is out. John McClain will be by a little bit later. We have Lisa Ann with some fantasy advice at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. And we're going to make some picks at the top of this hour on four games. I don't know if you knew that, Stanford, but we do picks on four games.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm
so
all four.
I think you'll be well-versed in all four of the games of what being a former football player.
Just a
and all.
Little bit.
Yeah, you'll be fine. So I don't even need to tell you what the four games are. You can do this off the top of your head. Football Fridays brought to you by Coors Light and the Low T Center.
ESB, he can open up the field, help me get open, keep guys focused off of myself. Lamar Miller, Deshaun, he can spread the field.
He can be, one of the best offenses in the league, when we're all, when we're not just me helping Deshaun, but when everybody's clicking on the same page.
That's DeAndre Hopkins talking about Will Fuller, and that's Will Fuller talking about DeAndre Hopkins and the rest of the offense. How big a re-addition is Will Fuller for these guys this weekend?
Oh, he can be huge, because with a guy like him who can take the top off the defense and actually stretch the field, if he can become a full route runner, and what I mean by that is run all the routes on the route tree, not just the deep post or the nine route, and actually be something that defenses know that they have to actually prepare for and work for and cover, whether it's the slant, the dig, the comeback, the quick out, things like that. If he can actually get to where he runs more routes on the route tree to the point where a DB actually has to play him honest, it's going to do so much for that offense, because it will allow the offense, now that they don't have to worry about teams double teaming DeAndre Hopkins. Now they got to play everybody honest, because they actually see this guy over here, even though he's fast and can stretch the field, he can also run the intermediate routes and excel at that game. So now the safety, whenever it's man coverage and you got the free safety, he can't just lean to DeAndre Hopkins' side. He has to actually play everything honest, which means it's going to make more plays for DeAndre Hopkins, and you're going to have Deshaun Watson actually have more of an open field to throw to.
Theoretically, DeAndre Hopkins is the guy that if you're going to double team somebody on this offense, it's DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. So if that leaves Will Fuller in single coverage, as a former cornerback, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult is Will Fuller as a matchup one-on-one, and what makes him difficult?
As a corner going against a Will Fuller right now, it's actually not that hard.
Really?
And I'll say this, because Will Fuller is very fast, no doubt about it. But see, me, I was also fast.
Mm-hmm.
I still am pretty fast. but the thing is, because Will Fuller doesn't run that many different pass routes,
mm-hmm.
it's easier to cover, because what he's about to do.
Mm-hmm.
That the only time that Deshaun Watson is going to look at him is on the post route and on the nine route. You're not worried about the comeback. You're not worried about the hitch. You're not worried about the dig, things like that. Now,
Is that more his capability, or is that more what he's asked to do in the offense?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think because they think those are his capabilities, that's all they're going to ask him to do, that they're going to put him in positions to be successful. And so far, thus far in his career, even dating back to Notre Dame, that he's not successful beating the corner on a slant,
mm-hmm.
beating the corner on a comeback, beating the corner on a dig, beating him on a hitch, things like that. Now, if Will Fuller, like I said, becomes more of a complete route runner,
yeah.
where he runs all of the routes on the route tree and he doesn't just excel at the deep ball, then he's going to be very difficult to go against, because you don't have a bead on what he's about to do. You got to literally play him honest. And whenever you start to play him honest, then he can just go ahead and outrun you on the deep ball.
Interesting. See, I feel a little – and I've obviously watched Will Fuller, going back to every snap of him playing in college – I think he's a little underrated at some of those things you just talked about. I get it. Like, his role is to stretch the defense,
yeah.
open up the field. But I feel he can do some of those things. Look, the big issue for Will Fuller has been catching the football.
And
if you're a cornerback going against him, you got to feel like, okay, well, even if he beats me, there's probably like an 8% chance he's not going to hold on to this thing, right? So just real quick, because we were talking about Mariota in the previous segment. Vrabel's quotes from today regarding Mariota. He's trying, Vrabel said of Mariota. We're evaluating. We anticipate both of those guys playing in the game, okay? We're going to have to do a lot of things to win this football game, and I would anticipate both of those guys playing at some point in time. Marcus is going to do everything he can to get ready, like every player is going to do everything they can to get ready for the opener, or not for the opener, but for the game on Sunday. So, and for those who don't know, it's an elbow injury with Marcus Mariota. Usually it's been his lower extremities that have been the issue. This time, it's an elbow injury. And I guess it's funny because I saw a tweet where I guess Mariota describes some of the symptoms. You know, you get hit in the elbow, there's probably a lot of nerve stuff going on there. And Denard Robinson, it linked to an article about Denard Robinson. Remember Denard Robinson, the quarterback out of Michigan?
Shoelaces, I think.
Shoelaces, and he went to Jacksonville and became kind of a, I guess he never really played quarterback there. He was more of a wide receiver, running back
kind
type.
Of like, yeah, like an X-Factor.
Like a slash, yeah. But I guess he got kind of dinged with the same thing. And it, like, with the feeling in his hand, and it never really recovered from it, which you can probably get away with if you're a running back or a wide receiver. But I would imagine when you're a quarterback and you got all that tactile stuff going on with the feel of the football and everything, I would imagine. And that's, it's, I believe it's Mariota's throwing elbow that's hurt.
Yeah, I think it is too. That's something he's definitely going to have to make sure that he can, make sure he can take care of a nurse, especially within the pocket, not taking certain unnecessary hits. They're going to obviously, I think, limit his throws. I think they're going to limit the distance on his throws. That way he doesn't have to put so much of his body into it. Now, if you're a defensive player, if you're J.J. Watt, if you're Jadeveon Clowney, if you're Whitney Mercilus, whenever you have a chance to take a shot at a Marcus Mariota, even if it's a late hit, something you may actually get penalized for, you take that. You'll take that 15-yard penalty because you hitting him and possibly knocking him out of the game, and then they go to Blaine Gabbert, or just simply hitting him and then making that elbow hurt even more, get more sore than what it already is. That's going to pay dividends down the stretch in this game.
Okay, how much does that get talked about amongst guys when a quarterback or a key player is banged up? Everybody knows what the injury is. How much is that discussed? Because I do feel like there's a code among football players where, kind of, you know, all for one for all, except like once you get out on the field, like it's, we got to win football
it's our
games
team versus yours.
It's our job to win football games
now.
So where does this fall in the code?
Now I don't want to sit over here and give my statement that will then make it seem like I'm casting aspersions on possibly there being some sort of bounty gate or anything like that.
Just you and me talking, Stanford. No worries here.
Because I definitely don't feel like the Houston Texans are doing anything of that sort. But I will tell you, as a defender, if you know that you're going against a receiver, a running back, a quarterback, if there's a defensive lineman going against an offensive tackle or a guard or a center, somebody like that, and you know that he has some sort of ailment, whether it's a sore calf muscle, whether it's a sore quad or an elbow like a Marcus Mariota, if there's a chance and there's a pile up, let's say you go to and you tackle that running back or that receiver that's got a sore ankle, a sore quadricep, a sore calf muscle, and y'all are both on the ground, then you know what? I might be a little bit slower to get up whenever I got to get up from the pile.
Maybe push up off of that quad.
Exactly, yeah. If he's laying on the ground and I have to get myself up off the ground, I'll probably use my right hand to push up off that quad or that ankle or that calf muscle. So, yeah, you definitely have a little bit of tactics like that, because when you get out there on Sunday, we got to win this game. Now, do I want to sit up here and make this guy ineligible, or do I want to have him be on the shelf and ruin his career where he can never play again? No, I don't want to do that. But if I got to do certain little tactics, that way he's not at his best.
Yeah.
And then in turn helps us improve our chances of winning the game, then so be it.
If a guy's got bruised ribs, I'm going to hit him in the ribs.
Exactly, because they would do the same thing to us.
Yeah. Do you review the injury report before the game?
You may not review the injury report right before the game, but
you know.
But definitely, yes.
Like in film and stuff, you guys talk about it?
Oh, yeah. At the beginning of the week on Wednesdays, whenever you actually start install and you're actually going over the scouting report for all the players that you're going to be going against, because you do it as a defense. At least that's how it was back when I was playing.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a scouting report that you go over. I remember plenty of times that we would play the Houston Texans, and it always seemed like Andre would always simply be hurt against the time we play him. Like, there's a few times that I got matched up against Andre, but for the most part, he would always be hurt. And I remember there were times like I would be sitting there watching ESPN, the bottom line ticker, on a Friday evening, and they'll say Andre Johnson out for this week's game against the Raiders. So I'll shoot Namdi a quick text message like, hey, AD's not playing this week. Yeah. So obviously that makes our job even easier because, you know, having a Hall of Famer and Andre Johnson not playing in a game like that. So, yes, so you definitely always want to be abreast of the injury report, of what the guy's injuries are, things of that nature. And then, you know, first and then last and definitely not least is you watch the guy in pregame. If it's a guy who's been injured all week and it seems like he's had a knee injury, a calf, something like that, you're going to watch him in pregame to see if he's favoring that ailment. And then you already know, okay, he's going to go ahead and push through today, but you can clearly see he's not at his
interesting
best.
So you'd be looking over there while they're going through their drills and their stretching and things like that.
Yes, you do it as a corner, looking at receivers and running backs, the quarterback, but then also your position coach.
Yeah.
There's also trainers. There's guys, coaches within the coaching staff, people like that who are actually looking at the opposing team during warmups to see, okay, let me see who's banged up. Let me see who's pushing through, but they're still a little banged up, and, you know, they're not quite right, even though they're going to push through. Like, I guarantee you, you got this week the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings. In pregame, you will definitely see everybody from the Minnesota Vikings sideline, everybody on the defense side, the coaching staff. You'll probably see everybody in the stadium that is going to be looking to see, okay, how does Aaron Rodgers look on that knee? Like, does he look like he's kind of favoring a little bit? Is he ginger? Does it seem like he's really able to plan in his throws? Yeah, you're going to always see that because, man, you only get 16 of these every year. You get 16 games, and one loss can actually mean the difference between you going to the playoffs and not going to the playoffs. That could be the difference between a coach getting fired and a coach getting retained. That could be the difference between a player getting re-signed and a player getting let go. So you definitely going to always take every advantage that you can on the football field to win a game.
So you played for the Raiders. How many years did you play for the Raiders?
Seven.
You played 7 years for the Raiders. See, I think just so you know, the outside impression of the Raiders to me when it comes to this topic is I feel like before film, they just basically printed out the injury report, handed it out to each of you guys like a handout, and then put up like, you know, the game, the operation, the wacky doctor's game.
Yes.
They put like a grid of like the operation guy up on the screen and started pointing to body parts for different guys. Like, this is what we want to hit right here. Like, this is what, and on this guy here, next. Okay, and this guy, he's hurt right here, like a laser pointer. Like, this guy's got a right knee and an elbow. So, you know, like if it's a fullback, they're going through it with the linebackers. The receivers are going through it with you guys. Like, that's my impression of the Raiders.
No.
Why are the Raiders the most penalized team every year? And like 15 penalties the other night.
I feel like there's a few different layers to that question.
Yeah.
I think part of it obviously is
I'm fascinated by
being undisciplined.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Now, I will tell you this. Another part of it is, and I remember we had this theory back when I was in Oakland for many years, is that Al Davis, as iconic as he was, I think the best owner in NFL history, no doubt about it.
Wow.
If not, he's one of the best. So I think that Al Davis, a lot of people either loved him or they outright hated him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because there's some people that he ruffled their feathers, obviously, I think that we collectively, especially the DBs, we felt like a lot of times the refs would penalize us to try to get back at Al.
Yeah.
I know that kind of sounds a little bit of just making excuses.
It's not the craziest thing in the world. It's not. Like, if we have conspiracy theories about umpiring and NBA officiating, like, that's not the craziest thing in the world. I've always felt it was just like one of those things, like, it's this subconscious thing that comes with wearing black and silver and having a guy with an eye patch
we look like gangsters.
Right.
We look like junkyard dogs. And it
seeps into your play.
And it really became evident to me. I want to say it was my rookie year. We played against the New England Patriots. They just finished winning their third Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
And I remember on kickoff, one of our kickoff returners, he was one of our corners. And he gets the return, and Rodney Harrison clotheslines this guy. Referee didn't call it. but one of the Raiders, if we cough on somebody the wrong way, they're calling a penalty.
I think that I'm asking the question because I wanted to hear you say it, but I think there's something subliminal about it. Like, I don't think it's entirely the Raiders' fault. When it happens across different coaches and different players and different regimes, and it still is just that way over the years, then It's there's something else there other than just, hey, they're undisciplined.
And then also, whenever you see a team, like right now you got the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're probably the most physical team in the league. Previously, before that, was the Legion of Boom, Seattle. Anytime you have teams that are known as just being physical,
yeah,
that automatically seeps into the psyche of a referee.
Yes.
Because anytime he sees a big hit, 100%. He's going to automatically think, oh, maybe that was a little bit dirty, or maybe that was a little bit something like that. So I think that also plays a part.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.